Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah, everyone all set, cocked, locked. Here we go. Your dial is set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. Jason, thank you for engineering. You know, class, I've been looking forward to this series of lessons from 5-Minute University for well over a week. I'm all excited about it. Kathy is with us in Ohio. And Kathy, my understanding is that you are going to be interviewing me. Is that correct?
Yes, I am, Ben.
I'm all excited about it. Well, let's see how we do. So, class, I'm on the hot seat, and I'm looking at the call screen, and I have a feeling that we are not going to have time for calls today. So if you're interested in calling, I think that's wonderful, but please don't today. But if toward the end of the broadcast we have some time for your questions, I will let you know. But please don't call until then, okay? So, Kathy, where would you like to start?
Vince, I think the first thing that I really would like you to explain, because I think it's going to be important for everybody to know, is the voltage problem that you had. Can you explain what happened to you, the symptoms, what your remedies were, and what happens if you don't, and really all the problems and the fixes that you have? I think that that's important, because I believe that if we have this problem and it continues, like you said, we could end up losing electronics, refrigerators, freezers, anything that spike or surge would affect it. So I guess then that's the part I really would like you to explain. And honestly, Vince, if there's something I don't understand, I'll just ask you again, because I'm going to need it simplified, because I don't understand it the way you do. So if you can go ahead and start, then anything I don't understand, I'll ask, okay?
Sure. Okay, class. So it's going to take a little bit of background to set the stage for this. So we built our farmhouse starting around 2005. And what I wanted to do was make sure that our farmhouse had the best wiring system that could be built, and considering economics. So cost was a consideration. But what's the best way to wire a house to have a perfect household wiring system, better than the standards set forth by the National Electric Code for houses? How could we build it better than that, have lower electromagnetic radiation, have the minimum amount of voltage drop, and have the system last for the entire life of the house without problems? So that being the case, what we did in our house was we started at a central, or at one location, we'll call it a utility area, where the electric breaker panel, the first breaker panel, was installed. 40 spaces. So it has 40 slots for 40 circuit breakers. So that's a pretty big panel, bigger than most. And I decided on using a brand of breaker manufactured by General Electric. And they called theirs, the style of the breaker is called BR. Now that is, so if you go to the big box store and you want to buy a circuit breaker, whether it's Bryant or Square D or General Electric or Murray, you could get breakers to fit this, and they're the least expensive. That doesn't mean they're junky. That means that they're, it's the most popular style, BR, the letter B and the letter R as one word. That style breaker is what we've used. That being the case, when I installed the circuits, the wiring, going from, here's what we did. The house was framed, and so we had studs on the inside walls and the exterior walls. And what we did was my son and I bought hundreds of electrical boxes, those blue ones that you nail on. And we made a measuring stick. And the measuring stick had a line on it that said, up from the floor, this is where the center of the box is going to be. So everything has been standardized. And then we nailed the boxes where we wanted the receptacles and the switches to be. Then we marked the boxes based on the circuit. So, for example, let's say there's a master bedroom. And the master bedroom on the inside of the box with a Sharpie marker was marked MBR, master bedroom. And then let's say the south wall was going to be, the south wall would be tied to the east wall. So the circuits would be for the south, receptacles for the south and the east. It would say MBR, S for south, and E. That would let me know that that is the circuit that supplies electricity for those two walls in the master bedroom. The kitchen would be K1 for the first circuit in the kitchen, K2, K3, K4, etc. So I know where all the wires go, and every circuit breaker is marked with a piece of colored electrical tape so that I can remove it if I want. But it will say K1, K2, DR for dining room, LR, you know, LR1, LR2. So you can do it by location, the direction of the compass, or you can do it by the number of circuits, overhead lighting, like MBR light. So that would be a circuit for the master bedroom light, which is different from the living room light, which is different from the dining room light, those kinds of things. That being said, I know where all the wires go, and I know that they are of sufficient ampacity, it's with an A, to carry the current. So the wiring circuits are typically 15 amp circuits, and the receptacles are 20 amp circuits. All of the wires in the boxes are twisted together, stripped, twisted, and soldered with 60-40 rosin core solder. That is so that those connections will not oxidize, and then once they've been twisted and soldered, then I use wire nuts. And then to go to from those twisted and soldered wires to either the switches or the receptacles, I use pigtails, which are soldered in place too. So it's an 8-inch piece of wire, which is soldered with the other wires, my color, whites go to whites, black go to black, neutral go, you know, the ground goes to ground, all soldered. And the idea is the connections will not come apart, and they will have the minimum amount of voltage loss. That being said, I know the wiring in our house is correct. Then what happened was we experienced an anomaly. And I had a whole house uninterruptible power system. What I did was I wired specific rooms. So if I wanted to turn the dining room into an area with a computer and make it a workroom, a home-based office, I could do that. So I have a special outlet, orange in color, dedicated just to uninterruptible power. Then I have the same thing in the bedroom. I have the same thing in Mrs. Finelli's sitting room. I have the same thing in two locations of the kitchen. I have the same thing where the router is located. I have all over the house, I have these orange outlets. They're only to be used. The reason I used orange was because I got them for $1 a piece. The receptacles for $1 a piece are normally about $10 or $15 each. They are used as isolated ground receptacles. They are really expensive, but I got them inexpensively, and I use them because Orange designates that you don't plug the vacuum cleaner into that. Okay, it's a special outlet. So only electronics like a flat-screen TV or in the studio where the computers are, they're plugged into these outlets, which are fed by a whole house uninterruptible power system. The one that I used was Belkin, and it was a 1,200-watt system. Belkin is not really good. It's just okay. It would be second tier. And the reason is because my top tier is American Power Conversion. And that one, the batteries wore out, and I had this Belkin, so I used the Belkin as a backup. The electricity coming to our house from the grid was deployed because we haven't had sun for about 7 weeks. Actually, going on maybe 8 weeks now. So little sun that our solar system, which could power the whole house, the whole farm, did not generate enough electricity to power the lights or anything else, like the washing machine, the dishwasher, the well pump. So I switched the system to grid power. And that's when I noticed the problem. One day, our whole house uninterruptible power system failed. It shut down. And I went to, and I have some other devices plugged into that whole house UPS, like the clock radio that tells me the time and wakes me up in the morning in case I oversleep by a couple minutes. So that is hooked up to UPS because I don't have to reset the clock every time the power blips. It doesn't go 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock, like you all see when the power has problems, right? Power goes out for a couple seconds. And I have a couple night lights hooked up to this, too. And the idea is if the power fails, we, you know, walk around the middle of the night and not bump into things. So it's fairly well thought out. But that whole house UPS system failed. And it failed because the voltage coming into our farm from the grid was 135.7 volts, which is out of spec. The specifications for our power grid in the United States of America is 120 volts. That's perfect. 120 volts is absolutely perfect as a voltage. 60 cycles is perfect as a frequency. We experienced 135.7 volts. Way too much. So the grid tolerance is 120 volts plus or minus 5%. That means that at a low voltage of 114 is the lowest acceptable voltage that the grid should supply at your house. The high would be plus 5%, which would bring it up to 126 volts. So the range is 114 to 126 volts. Anything lower than that is unacceptable. Anything higher than that is unacceptable. If the voltage is too low, electric motors can burn out. What would that be? Well, that'd be if you have a hot air or a forced air heating system, there's an electric motor that moves the air. If you have a hydronic heating system, meaning hot water, you have a pump that moves the water. If you have a refrigerator or a freezer or a washing machine or a dryer or a dishwasher, they all have electric motors. We'll be right back.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAprepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAprepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So Kathy's with us, and she asked me a very interesting question. What happened, and why, and what are the symptoms, and what can we do about it? So I'm going to answer every one of those questions. Kathy, did you want to say something else before I continue?
I did have a question. You said that you soldered your connections so they wouldn't come apart and they wouldn't oxidize. Are most of them soldered, and what would cause them to oxidize if you didn't? Just air?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The way wiring is done in the United States, typically, modern wiring, starting somewhere around the 1960s, maybe even before that, a little bit before that, the conductors, you might call Romex, that would be a yellow sheathed flat wire with a ground and a white insulated copper wire and a black insulated copper wire. The black and the white would be the conductors of the alternating current. The neutral or the ground wire would be just a bare copper wire inside the jacket of the Romex. Okay, so when you join wires inside an electrical box, you're joining maybe one copper wire to another copper wire, and in my case I would add a third one to a pigtail. So let's say it this way. So let's say we have a home run from the breaker panel to the first outlet in a room. Well, let's say it's a bedroom, for example. So the way I wired the house is a bedroom has all of the outlets in that bedroom are on one circuit. The next, on the other side of the wall, could be another bedroom, just for example. But that's on a different circuit. So what typically electricians will do is they'll say, well, let's run a circuit over there to the bedrooms, and we'll put all the bedrooms on one circuit. I didn't do that. Every bedroom has a separate circuit, so we would not have voltage drop by the using devices in different rooms, you know, approaching the maximum load of that circuit. So I wanted to make sure that if you're in a room, the only devices that would be powered by that circuit are in that room. There's no devices on the other side of the wall, let's say a heater or a vacuum cleaner or something like that, that could increase the load on that circuit and decrease the voltage. So when I wired each electrical box, let's just call it a receptacle box for this example. Let's say there is a receptacle on each wall. Let's say four walls, four receptacles, to make this simple. The wire comes from the breaker panel to the first receptacle box. And then it continues on to the second outlet box, and the third, and the fourth. So it's in a series. It's a daisy chain. So if anything happened to the first electrical box where the wires are joined together, it would affect outlets number 2, 3, and 4. You with me there, Kathy?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what typically happens, an electrician will strip the wires and put wire nuts on the wires that go downstream from outlet number 1 to outlet number 2, and from outlet number 2 to outlet number 3, and from outlet number 3 to outlet number 4. So the wires are joined with these wire nuts. So you have two copper wires, for example, two black wires, and in my case, a pigtail going to the receptacle. And when you typically strip the wires, twist them, put them in a wire nut, twist the wire nut on them, and you have a metal spring inside the wire nut that's a conductor of electricity that helps conduct electricity to those three wires that are all joined under the wire nut. Well, you have two different metals, and there's moisture in the air. And whenever you have two different metals, you have a potential for a galvanic action, which will corrode the wires or oxidize the wires. So I didn't want that to happen. So the only way I can think of to prevent that is to encapsulate the wires that I've joined together in a pool of lead and tin, which is solder. So if I encapsulate it, oxygen can't get to it, moisture can't get to it, and the wires can't oxidize or corrode. So that's why I did that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Yep.
Okay, very good. And by the way, class, when I put wire nuts in a box, I always put them so that the wires face the go toward the bottom of the box, and the top of the wire nut is at the top of the box. So if there ever is any moisture, it doesn't collect under the wire nut.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
USA News Update. Republicans in the House of Representatives on Tuesday passed a series of bills related to the COVID-19 pandemic and vaccines. The first bill would officially declare an end to the public health emergency of the COVID-19 pandemic. The second bill would end the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers at institutions that receive federal funding. The Freedom for Healthcare Workers Act bill passed 227-203, with 7 Democrats jumping on board. Representative Steve Scalise, the Republican from Louisiana.
Well, Mr. President, if you know it's the right thing to do, don't wait until May. Let's open our country back up again, get our economy back up again.
NFL quarterback Tom Brady has made his retirement announcement again.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream.
Lance Pry, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
It's gonna be sliding.
When are today's hot?
Watch it.
God, you're
take my
when you go
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Kathy's with us, and she's interviewing me about what happened with the over and under voltage situation. And I'm weaving a whole bunch of lessons from Feynman University into this particular class. And Kathy, I mentioned wire nuts and that I put the top of the wire nut upward and the bottom of the wire nut downward. And the reason for that, class, this is really important. I've never seen anybody else pay this much attention to this. But let's say you have a garage. Let's say you have a barn. Let's say you have a high humidity situation wherever you live. Well, you know that water condenses on a colder surface. So if you have wire nuts and wires inside the electrical box, and air can get in there, there's no question about it, and moisture too. If the wires are cool and moisture's in the air, and there's a change of temperature, you know, like the 67 degrees that we've had over the 67 degree delta that we've had since this bomb superstorm. And this afternoon, so we're going in a matter of, let's say, 6 days from minus 7 Fahrenheit to 60-something degrees this afternoon. Those kinds of conditions can cause cool wires to have moisture on them. Well, the bottom line is, if you put the wire nut upside down, like a cup, moisture will travel down the wire and pool in the wire nut, where you have, let's say, some metal that's ferrous, steel, let's say, that's plated in the spring in the wire nut, and the copper, and if water sits there, it will corrode. Ultimately, that connection will fail, it will overheat, and you can have a fire. So always, every chance you get, make sure the wire nut, the top of the wire nut, is pointing up, so that if there is any moisture, it won't pool in the wire nut, because gravity will pull the moisture and the droplets of water down. Kathy, any questions about what I just said?
No, it makes a lot of sense, Ben.
But I've never seen a house where the electricians have paid attention to that. Never. They just push the wire nuts in. They find a way. Sometimes they're upside down, you know, so they can collect water. Sometimes they're horizontal. But very rarely will you see all the wire nuts with the top of the wire nuts facing up. Okay. So what I'm trying to delineate, class, is that I was very careful with the wiring. So I know that the wiring is really good in our house. It's perfect. And I've never seen an electrician who has... I've discussed this with many electricians. I've read the code book, the National Electric Code. There have been electricians that say, our house does not need code because I soldered the wires. The National Electric Code is silent, at least the versions that I've read, to soldering wires. There's nothing that says, don't y'all be soldering these wires. So electricians, people who are professionals, and I'm not talking about Kyle, who is a professional electrician, I'm talking about other electricians, have told me that what I have done does not meet code, which is pure nonsense. It exceeds code. What I've done exceeds code. So, that being the case, I know that we have very little voltage drop and we don't have connections that are unstable in our house. I know that for a fact because of the way I wired the house. So, what happened was the uninterruptible power system failed. It could not take the overvoltage situation from the grid. Now, I mentioned that 120 volts plus or minus 5% is the standard. So the range is 114 at the low voltage to 126 at the maximum high voltage. 126 is maximum. Electronic equipment and motors are typically designed to handle a 10%, plus or minus 10% variation. But that's it. Well, 132 volts would be 10% higher than 120. Our voltage was 135.7, higher than that. And our whole house UPS couldn't handle it. It failed. And our refrigerator in the kitchen, which is right next to our freezer in the kitchen. We have a all-refrigerator right next to an all-freezer next to an all-refrigerator. It's like a matching set. So if you look at them, it looks like 34 cubic feet of refrigeration. But it's a 17 cubic foot plain Jane all-freezer and a 17 cubic foot all-refrigerator. So they're not real big. But together, they're pretty big. So what happened was, as you know, if you have a refrigerator and you have a freezer, you open the refrigerator door more often than you open the freezer door, right? We all know that. Well, that means that the compressor is going to cycle more times on, off, in the refrigerator. Now, I'm really conscious of this because they're both side by side in the kitchen, and I can hear them fire up. What happened was, with the overvoltage condition, something caused it was either a frequency problem or an overvoltage condition that caused this. And I believe it was the overvoltage. And it caused the compressor of the refrigerator, when it shut off, to go bang, 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 bang. Kind of like a compressor in a refrigeration system, freezer or refrigerator, is typically a piston type thing. Just like a single-cylinder air-cooled lawnmower engine. It's just like that. Except it doesn't have valves, but it does have a piston, it has a crankshaft and a connecting rod, and an electric motor that drives this system. So think of it, if you were to take a steam engine, a locomotive, and if you look at the driving mechanism for the wheels, the wheels that move the train with a steam engine, that piston, connecting rod, and wheel is exactly the design that's inside your refrigeration compressor. So it's a piston that goes back and forth and compresses the refrigerant. When it shuts off, you know, it's spinning by the electric motor, and when you disconnect the power to it, it continues to spin for just a little bit until friction stops it. But it was going bang, 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 bang. And I know for a fact that if that were to continue, it would destroy the compressor, or the vibration of that would cause the refrigerant lines to crack and leak. So it's a problem. So that's how I knew that we had the damage to the refrigerator. I knew that we had the damage to the uninterruptible power system because it quit working. And I know that we had damage to our network switches because some of the ports on those stopped working. So it wasn't like we had a complete total power equipment damage. It's partial equipment damage. Like the network switches would work on some ports, but not all the ports. There's 16 ports, 24 ports. So some of the ports stop working. The refrigerator compressor works, but it bangs. The UPS would power the equipment when the grid was present, but not, it wouldn't take over and continue powering equipment when the grid was shut down. So we had equipment that's just partially working. Now, when we get to the point where we put the claim in, you know, the insurance company for the utility company may say, well, it's only partially busted. And that would be like having a car with three wheels. You know, all the wheels are good except for that one that's busted. But you can't drive the car with it. So the bottom line is the overvoltage condition, which I measured with a very simple device. And you all know what it is. It's a kilowatt meter. It's kill, K-I-L-L-A-watt. And it has a display on it, and I plugged it into the receptacle, and 135.7 volts. So I tried other receptacles throughout the house, the same voltage. Tried it in the garage, same voltage. It's not us. It wasn't our solar system, which was in bypass mode. I literally flipped breakers so that the solar system was not powering the house at that time. Because we had so little sunlight, we could only top off the batteries, we're generating 20 cents worth of electricity a day. And we should be able to generate, let's say, $5 worth a day. So, you put all that together, that's how I knew that we had this problem. And I immediately called the utility company, and they said they'll send a crew out. And they sent two trucks, and they measured the voltage at the meter. And they said, yep, you're right, 135.7 volts. Out of spec. Now, they said, they checked the substation, and it's everybody. Everybody. It's not just the Finellis. It's everybody that was at that substation. And they said, but we didn't do it. It's really from the company that provides electricity to our local cooperative electric company. Because our cooperative electric company is just a distribution company. They have the power poles, they have the transformers, and they've got the wires. But they don't generate the electricity. They buy the electricity and resell it. So the company that generates the electricity or sells it to our utility company, they said, we had a problem. So this is way bigger than just our little village. This is like an area-wide problem. But I have a feeling that because of the solar activity, because of the rapid cool downs and heat ups of the weather, and because of sabotage, people shooting at transformers like in the West Coast and in the Carolinas. These things can happen. But I think it was all from the power company that fed our utility company with an overvoltage condition. But how many people would know that? How many people would have a method of testing the voltage or even think about the voltage? So, Kathy, here's the question. Is it conceivable that someone else's refrigerator would fail, or a television would burn up, and the spouse would say to the other spouse, "Well, honey, I can't believe it. I've only had that thing a few years, and it just blew up. So let's go shopping and get a new one." How many people would just say that rather than try to determine what the real problem is? Kathy, your thoughts?
Vince, honestly, until you start talking about it, I wouldn't have thought that either. I would have thought maybe sometimes, you know, how you get the surge or the spike, that would have done it. But the overvoltage, I don't think most people would. And Vince, why did the electric company isn't there any way they could have controlled that or fixed that, or why did they not know about it?
Well, they did know
idea?
About it. They did know about it, but they didn't send an all points bulletin to say, "Heads up, shut off your electric motors and shut off your sensitive electric devices." They just worked on it, and ultimately, over a period of a couple hours, they got it down from 135 volts to within the normal range of, typically we're at about 123.7. That's where we are at our house. And that's within the 5%. That's within the plus or minus 5%. So, typically, I leave one of these kill a watt meters, and you can buy it on eBay, class. I leave it plugged into the kitchen, and I look at it all the time. I do, because I'm curious and I want to know. I want to know what happened, why things happened, and we can flesh this out with much more detail. And I have a plan, and I'll share that with you, exactly what I did and what you can do to fix this.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Oh, class, this is I'm trying to explain this so you can all understand that this is probably a way bigger problem than many people believe. So your equipment is designed to work at a specific frequency, 60 cycles, alternating current in the United States, and 120 volts for your regular wall outlets. Well, if you have a spike, and a spike is like transient, real fast, high voltage real fast, well, a surge protector can handle that. But a surge protector cannot and is not designed to handle this situation of overvoltage that I'm talking about. Persistent, continuous overvoltage. Can't handle it. So I have a surge protector in my hand from the company I believe is one of the best in the world. There are two I really like. And one of them is called American Power Conversion. They use the letters A, P, C. And I've talked to their engineers, even recently, even within the last 10 days. And a surge is too much voltage. A spike is transient, real fast, in the thousandths of a second. And a little surge protector that you plug into the wall that may be inside a power strip or it may be a surge protection device that you plug in, and it has not just two outlets, it might take the two outlets you have on your wall receptacle, or it might make it three or four or five or six. But there's also some electronics in there that filter out some noise, some high frequencies. There might be some chokes. There might be some capacitors. There might be some metal oxide varistors. And they all play a part. And together, they are a fairly good solution for the transient problem, the real short spikes. But if you think about it, if you use logic and you say, yeah, I saw that tree was hit by lightning, and lightning split that tree in half. If lightning can split a tree in half, and that would be a spike, a real high voltage spike, and your surge protector would attempt to attenuate that and send the extra voltage to the ground. That would be the center conductor of your receptacle, which is connected through your household wiring to your circuit breaker panel, which is connected to a heavy copper wire, which is connected to a ground rod pounded into the ground outside your home. Those ground rods are about eight feet long. They're pounded into the ground, and the idea is if there's extra voltage or something shorts, that short circuit will go to the ground rather than electrocute you. Or if there's lightning or a spike, it gets sent to the ground by these surge protectors. But the surge protectors only start limiting or attenuating the extra voltage at above 330 volts. So your outlet's running at 120, plus or minus 5%, and your surge protector, the best ones in the world, like the one I have in my hand by American Power Conversion, starts attenuating at 330 volts. It's almost three times the normal current that you're using. That cannot stop the overvoltage condition that we saw from the grid at 135.7 volts. And this surge protector that you plug into the wall, into your outlets, it can't handle a massive amount of current. It can handle a high voltage for a really short time, and that's it. So, even if you have the world's best surge protection, which we do here at our farm, it won't solve the problem. Kathy, any questions so far about that?
No, I understand, Vince. Nope.
Okay. All right. So then the next point is, where do these surges come in? So if you think about it, if you look at an electrical outlet, you have what's called the line, which would be the black wire. Then you have the neutral, which would be the white wire. And then you have the ground. Now, literally, a surge can come in on the white wire or the black wire, the line or the neutral. So when you buy a surge protector, you want to look at the housing of it, or maybe it's on the box on the outside before you buy it, and you want one that has 330 volts as the best in class protection. It'll stop everything that it can above 330 volts. Some start at 400. That's too much. Some start at 500. That's way too much. Some start at 600. Why would you even have one of those? So a surge can come in on the line, it can come in on the neutral, and it can come in on the ground. So you want your surge protector to have L-N, line to neutral, 330 volts. Line to ground, 330 volts. That's L-G. And line, neutral to ground, 330 volts. You want all three lines of your receptacle protected. So you need to have three metal oxide varistors at least.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.